Osho. Seeds of Revolution, My Most Loved Gospel on Jesus. Commentaries on the Fifth Gospel of St. Thomas. Discourse number 4. Given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India.
Bhagwan, Jesus said, "Take no thought from the morning until the evening, and from the evening until the morning, for what you shall put on." His disciples said, "When wilt thou be revealed to us, and when will we see thee?" Jesus said, "When you take off your clothing without being ashamed, and take your clothes and put them under your feet as the little children, and tread on them, then shall you behold the Son of the Living One, and you shall not fear."
Man lives not as he is, but as he would like to be. Not with the original face, but a painted false face. That is the whole problem. When you are one, you have a face of your own. Nobody has disturbed it. Nobody has changed it. But sooner or later, the society starts working on your face. It starts hiding the original, the natural, the one you were born with. And then many faces are given to you for different occasions, because one face won't do. Situations change. So you need many false faces, masks. From the morning till evening, from the evening till morning, thousands of faces are used. When you see a man approaching who is powerful, you change the mask. When you see a man, a beggar approaching you are different. The whole time, moment to moment, there is a constant change in the face. One has to be alert about it, because it has become so mechanical that you need not be aware of it. It goes on changing by itself. The servant comes in the room. You don't even look at him, as if he is not a man, as if he didn't exist, as if nobody has entered. But the boss comes in the room. You suddenly jump. You have a face smiling, receiving, welcoming, as if God Himself has entered into the room. Watch your face, the change that occurs continuously. Look in the mirror and think of many faces that you can change. Look in the mirror and bring the face that will come when you will approach your wife. Look at the face that will come when you will approach the beloved. Look at the face when you are greedy, when you are angry. Create the face when you feel sexual. Create the face when you feel dissatisfied, frustrated, and watch in the mirror. You will find you are not one man, you are a crowd. And sometimes it will be difficult even to recognize that all these faces belong to you. A mirror can be a great blessing. You can meditate in the mirror. Change your faces and look at them. This will give you a glimpse how false the whole life has become. And none of these faces is you. In Zen, it has been one of the deepest meditations to find your original face, the one you had before you came to this world, and the one you will have when you will leave this world, because all these faces you cannot carry with you. They are gimmicks, techniques to deceive, techniques to defend, armor around you. These faces have to be dropped. Only then you can see Jesus. Because when you see your original face, you have seen Jesus. Jesus is nothing but your original face. Buddha is nothing but your original face. Buddha is not outside you, neither is Jesus. When you drop all the falsity and you are naked, just the original you, without any change, modification, you are Jesus. Jesus in its absolute glory is revealed. It is not in the son of Joseph that it is to be revealed. Suddenly you become Jesus. And only the like can know the like. Remember that law always. If you are like Jesus, only then you can recognize him. Otherwise, how you will recognize? When you feel your own inner being, then you can recognize the inner being of somebody else. The light can recognize the light. The light cannot recognize the darkness. And how the darkness will recognize the light? If you are false, you cannot recognize a real man. And Jesus is the most real that is possible. He is not a liar. He is authentic. And if you are lying with your life continuously, your words, your gestures, everything is a lie, then how can you recognize Jesus? It is impossible. In your total nudity, you will recognize the inner Jesus. Only then the outer can be recognized. The inner is first to be recognized. Because the recognition can come only from your inmost source of being. There is no other way. There is one of the oldest Jewish sayings that you start seeking God only when you have found him. Looks paradoxical, but absolutely true. Because how you will start seeking him if you have not found him, found within yourself? realize within yourself, only then the search starts. But then there is no need of search really. The search starts and ends at the same point. The first step is the last step. Only one step exists between you and the divine. There are not two steps, so there is no path. Just one step, drop down all falsities that you have taken upon yourself. Drop down all borrowed masks. But why we have faces? What is the need? And what is the fear of dropping them? The whole mechanics has to be understood. Only then these words will be clear to you. First, you have never loved yourself. Otherwise, there will be no need. You hate yourself. And if you hate, you will hide your face. If you hate, how can you reveal your face to others? You yourself hate it. You yourself don't want to see it, then how you can reveal it to others? Why it happened that you hate yourself? The whole conditioning of society depends on creating hatred in you about yourself, a self-condemnation, a guilt. Religions have existed, priests have existed, society exists. All types of exploitation exists on this basic seed that you hate yourself. Why you should go to a priest if you don't hate yourself? What is the need? When you hate, you feel guilty. When you hate, you feel some transformation is needed. When you hate, you think some help is needed. Somebody is needed to change you, to make you lovable, worth loving. Your parents say to you, you are wrong, this is wrong, that is wrong. They go on continuously saying, don't do this, don't do that. I have heard one small child wanted to play on the beach with the sand. The mother said, no, because the sand is wet and you will spoil your clothes. Then the small child wanted to go near the water. The mother said, no, absolutely no. It is slippery and you may fall there. Then the small child wanted to run and jump around and the mother says, no, you may get lost into the crowd. Then the child asked for ice cream. The ice cream vendor was near. The mother said no, because that always creates a problem with the throat and it is bad for the health. And then she said to a person who was standing by, have you ever seen such a neurotic child? And the child is not neurotic, the mother is neurotic. To play with sand is not neurosis. To go near the water is not neurosis. To run around is not neurosis. But a neurotic mind always says no. A neurotic mind cannot say yes. Because a neurotic mind cannot allow freedom to himself, or herself, how the neurotic mind can allow freedom to you? And this mother, and almost all mothers are like that, and all fathers, remember, when you become a mother and you become a father, they are all like that. The freedom is killed, and the child is forced by and by to feel that he is neurotic, he is wrong. Whatsoever he proposes to do is said no. I have heard about a small child who went to the school for the first day, came back, and the mother asked, "What you learned there?" The child said, "For the first time I learned that my name is not Don't. I always feel that Don't is my name. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't be like that." So the child was thinking, "My name is Don't. In the school I learned that that is not my name." If you are neurotic, and this whole society is neurotic, there is a chain of neurosis from one generation to another. It goes on and on. And up to now, no society has been able to create a non-neurotic society or non-neurotic age. Only sometimes few individuals have been able to get out of the prison. That too very rarely happens, because the prison is such big and with such strong foundations. The establishment is so old. It is supported by the whole past, that when a small child is born, it is almost impossible to think that he will be able to be healthy and not neurotic. Almost impossible, because everybody is mad around and they will force him to be like themselves. They will kill his freedom and they will create the feeling that he is wrong. He is always wrong. That creates a condemnation, a self-condemnation. You start hating yourself. And remember, if you hate yourself, you cannot love anybody else. Impossible. How can you love somebody when you hate yourself? If at the source poison exists, it will poison all your relationships. So you are never able to love anybody. And remember, second thing which follows as a logical consequence, if you hate yourself, how can you think that anybody is going to love you? If you cannot love yourself, who is going to love you? So you know deep down that nobody is going to love you. And even somebody tries, you never believe. You go on looking that he must be deceiving. How can anybody love you? You cannot love yourself. Then even if someone loves you, you are skeptical about, doubtful. You cannot trust. And you will find ways and means to prove that he doesn't love. And when it is proved, you are at ease. Then everything is right. This hatred is the base of all false faces. You start hiding. Clothes exist not because of the climate. That is just a minor part of it. They exist to hide the body. They exist to hide the sexuality. They exist to hide the animal in you. But animal is the life. All that is alive in you is animal-like. except your head, everything is like the animal. So everything has to be hidden except the head. Only head thinking is not like the animal, that is allowed. The society would be very happy if your whole body was cut and only head existed. They are trying, and the experiments have been successful. It is possible that the whole body can be dropped and the mind goes on functioning, the brain goes on functioning just through mechanical help. A mechanical heart goes on beating. A mechanical blood system goes on moving the blood, circulating it in the brain. And the brain exists without the body. Scientists are doing many experiments and they are in confusion what the brain should be thinking inside, because the body is no more there. The brain may be having dreams, thinking thoughts, creating systems. But this, they have been successful just few years back, but the society has been successful with the same experiment in a different way. Your whole body is cut from the consciousness, only your head is allowed. If suddenly you come upon your body without the head, I am certain you will not recognize that this is your body. If suddenly you come upon your body without the head, will you be able to recognize this is your body? You never saw it. Even in the bathroom, you have never seen your body. Clothes have become too much. They are not just on the body, they are on the mind also. Two small school children were passing a big wall and they wanted to know what is going on inside the wall. They found a small hole. It was very difficult to reach, so one boy stood on another boy's shoulders, looked into the hole and said, "Wonderful, many people are there and they are playing, but they are all nude. It seems to be a nudist club." The other boy became excited. He said, "Tell me something more, whether they are men or women." The small boy who was standing on top said, "I cannot say anything because they have no clothes." A man is recognized as man because of the clothes. A woman is recognized as woman because of the clothes. The small child is right. He says, "How can I say who they are? They have got no clothes." Clothes are the identity. That's why a king will not allow that you should wear clothes like him. No. If ordinary people start clothes like the king, then where he will be? It cannot be allowed. He should be something special. Clothes are identities. And they become so much heavy on you. Even in your dreams, you never see yourself naked. You always see with your clothes. This is something, it has gone very deep. Even in the dreams, you never see yourself naked. The society naked, no. Clothes. They have gone into the very unconscious, because a dream is an unconscious phenomenon. At least in the dream, you should be natural. But even there, you are not natural. Mass. Faces continue. This whole falseness exists, this pseudo-personality exists, because in the base you hate yourself. You want to hide. Nobody should know your real itself, because how they will be able to tolerate it if they come to know, how they will love it, how they will appreciate it. You have become actors. This is the base of Jesus' sayings. Jesus said, take no thought from the morning until the evening, and from the evening until the morning, for what you shall put on. Don't think about faces, clothes, falsities. Remain yourself as you are. Accept yourself as you are. Difficult, very difficult. Because if you think about yourself as you are, suddenly you feel uneasy. From where this uneasiness comes? Because teachers have been teaching you, and these teachers are the great poisoners of life. They are not really teachers, they are the enemies. They have been teaching that this is animal, that is animal, and you are a man. What they are saying? They are saying that whatsoever is animal in you, deny it. And I say to you that man is not something against the animal. Man is the supreme most animal. Not something against. The highest, the very peak. If you deny animality, you deny your very source of life. And then you will be always false. If you make love to a woman and you deny animality, what you will do? That's why many people have become almost incapable of loving. In the East, you may be surprised. I think 99% women have never known any orgasm. The same was the case in the West also, but now it is changing. Women have never known any sexual ecstasy, because they were never allowed. Man was allowed to be a little animal-like, but never women. They have to be stiff while making love. Dead, almost like a corpse. They should not show any emotion. They should not show that they are enjoying it, because only bad women enjoy. A prostitute is allowed to enjoy, but not a wife. If she enjoys and becomes ecstatic, then the husband will feel hurt that this woman is not very good, because she should behave like a goddess, not like an animal. But to behave like a goddess without being a goddess is bound to create falseness. So the woman lies down, dead, corpse-like, with no emotions. Have you ever observed the word emotion? It comes from the same root from where movement, motion comes. When you are in emotion, your whole being moves. It is thrilled. It throbs. It is alive. It is wild. No, woman is not allowed to be wild, to be alive. She has to remain corpse-like, dead. then she is a good woman. Then she has transcended animality. But if you deny sex and you say that this is animal, then you will have to hide it. In America, just 3-4 years before, one manufacturer of toys got into deep trouble, and the case went up to the Supreme Court. And the trouble was this, that he created few toys with penis vaginas. Real. A girl must have a vagina if she has a face. A boy must have a penis if he has a face. Toys with sex organs. He got into trouble. And he had to cancel his productions. He did a beautiful thing, but the courts won't allow, the society won't allow. Why your toys don't have sexual organs when they have everything? You want the child to be unaware of a fact. You are creating a false face. And why people got so much mad against those toys? Toys are toys. But priests, missionaries, so-called do-gooders, they got mad. They brought the man into the court, and he has done a beautiful thing, a historic thing. Children must know the whole body, because the whole body is beautiful. Why hide? Why cut? A fear, a deep fear of animality. But you are animals. It is a fact. You can transcend it, but you cannot destroy it. And destruction is one thing. If you destroy it, you will have a false face. Your mass will be a false thing. Your godliness will be just a mask. If you transcend it, then your godliness will be something authentic. But transcendence means accepting it, passing through it with alertness. Not being lost in it, passing through it and going above. And denial means never going into it, never passing through it, just bypassing it. In life, nothing can be bypassed. And if you bypass it, you will remain always immature, juvenile. You will never be a grown-up. Life has to be lived, only then you grow. There comes a moment when you transcend sex, but that moment comes through knowing. That moment comes through experience. That moment comes through deepening of consciousness and love, not through denial, not through repression. Jesus says, take no thought from the morning until the evening, and from the evening until the morning, for what you shall put on. Don't put on anything. I'm not saying that go and move naked in the town, but don't put on anything. Just be yourself. Whatsoever life has made you, accept it, enjoy it, welcome it, celebrate it. Be thankful to the divine that he has made you, whatsoever you are. Don't reject. When you reject anything in you, you have rejected God. Because he creates. He creates this way. Of course, he knows more than you. When you reject anything in you, you have rejected the Creator. You are finding fault with the universe, with existence itself. This is foolish, stupid. But such people have become very respectable. Jesus says, don't think what you are going to put on. Just move spontaneously in life. Be responsive to life, but don't bring any falseness between you and the flow of life. Live moment to moment without thinking, because thinking is the deepest mask. You go to a woman and you rehearsal in the mind what you are going to say. I love you. There is nobody like you. If you are making a rehearsal, you are not in love. Otherwise, there is no need. Love will speak its own. Love will flow on its own. On its own accord, things will happen, flowers will flower. But on its own accord, no rehearsal is needed. Once, Mark Twain was asked by a friend. He was coming from a lecture hall. He has delivered a beautiful talk. The friend asks, how it was, you liked your talk or not, you yourself? Mark Twain said, which talk? Because there is one which I had prepared, and the one that I have delivered, and the one that I wanted to deliver. Which talk you are asking about? But this is your whole life. You prepare something, you deliver something else, and you wanted to deliver absolutely something else. Why this happens, so much division? Because you are not spontaneous. One who is spontaneous will need only one thing, nothing else, that is being alert, mindful. Then he will respond out of his mindfulness. You prepare because you are unaware, not mindful. You are afraid. You are fearful because who knows what situation will be there. May I be able to respond or not? The fear, then you become false. And Jesus says, don't think what shall you put on. His disciples said, when wilt thou be revealed to us, and when will we be able to see thee? Jesus said, when you take off your clothing without being ashamed, and take your clothes and put them under your feet as the little children, and tread on them, then shall you behold the Son of the Living One, and you shall not fear. Try to understand each single word. The disciples asked, when wilt thou be revealed to us? Jesus is there, revealed in all his glory. He is present to them, before them. They are asking to Jesus himself, when thou will be revealed to us? They think as if Jesus is hiding himself. Once Buddha was asked, he was passing through a forest. Dry leaves were on the path. Leaves were falling. Wind was blowing. And there was much noise in the fallen dry leaves. And Ananda asked, there was no one. Other disciples have gone ahead. Few others were coming, following them. But at that moment only Ananda was near Buddha. He asked, I have always wanted to ask one thing. Have you revealed everything that you have got? or you are hiding something with from us. Buddha said, my hand is an open hand. A Buddha has got no fist. Look at this forest as it is revealed. Nothing is hidden. I am just as open as this forest, and a Buddha has got no fist. Then he took few dry leaves in his fist and said, now my fist is closed. You cannot see those leaves. People who are greedy about their knowledge, those who will not like to share it, they are like fists. When Buddha opened his hand, the leaves fell down, and he said, but a hand of a Buddha is not like a fist. He is open. I have revealed everything. And if you feel that something is still hidden, it is because of you, not because of me. Jesus is there, present. The disciples are asking about, when wilt thou be revealed to us? He is revealed. And when will we see thee? They think as if Jesus is hiding himself. No, Jesus is not hiding. Rather, on the contrary, the disciples are not open. They are closed. Their eyes are not open. They are hiding not Jesus. Truth is not hidden. You are closed. Truth is everywhere revealed, every moment. Truth by its very nature cannot be hidden. Only lies try to hide themselves, not truth. Only lies are secretive. Truth is always like an open hand, it is never like a fist. But you are closed. The problem is with you, said Jesus. When you take off your clothing without being ashamed, because you can take out your clothing and still being ashamed, then this nudity is not nudity really. This nudity is not innocent. Shame is cunningness. In Christianity, shame is the original sin. You have heard this story? What happened to Adam and Eve? Which moment the sin happened? It has been a continuous search. Exactly in what moment the sin happened? They were forbidden not to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge. But they got tempted. It is natural. Whenever anything is forbidden, temptation comes. This is how mind behaves. But mind have another trick also. It tempts you, but it always makes somebody else responsible. Whenever something is forbidden, the mind becomes interested. It becomes an invitation. The mind wants to know, to poke its nose, inquires. Adam and Eve were tempted by themselves. Nobody else is there. But this story says the devil, Satan, tempted them. This is a trick of the mind, to throw the responsibility on someone else. And this devil is nothing but a scapegoat. This devil is nothing but a trick of the mind to throw all the responsibilities. You are tempted, but the devil is the tempter. So you are not responsible. He has persuaded you. He seduced you. So he is the sinner, not you. But the temptation came from the forbiddingness. And this was the trick. The story is beautiful. God said, "Don't eat the fruit from this tree." If they were trusting, then they would have avoided the tree. But they were not trusting. They said, "Why? Why God forbids this tree to us? And this tree is the tree of knowledge." The mind must have said to them that if you eat, you will become like gods because you will be knowers. And he is forbidding because he is jealous. He is forbidding because he will not like you to become like gods. You will be knowers, then nothing will be hidden from you. But this story says the devil tempted them and said he has forbidden because he is jealous and afraid. This was just a situation for Adam and Eve to prove whether they trust or not, nothing else. But the mind persuaded. Mind is the devil. Devil came in the shape of a snake. A snake is the oldest symbol of cunningness. Mind is the snake, the most cunning. Adam and Eve both made responsible, throw the responsibility on devil, and Adam throws the responsibility on Eve. Man has always been saying that a woman is the tempter. So man has always been condemning women. In all the scriptures of the world, the woman is the tempter. She leads you into temptation, she seduces you, and she is the cause of all trouble. So your so-called saints go on condemning women. This is the way of the mind. Eve says, the devil. Adam says, Eve. And if you ask devil, if you get him somewhere, he will say God. Because why? He should forbid in the first place. That created the whole trouble. Otherwise the Garden of Eden was so big and there were millions of trees that by himself Adam and Eve would never have come upon the tree of knowledge. Forbidden, they knew this is the tree. Then the whole garden was uninteresting. Their whole interest became focused. It is God. But the story is beautiful and has millions of dimensions around it. It can be interpreted in many, many ways. That is the beauty of a parable. They took the fruit of the tree, they ate it. And immediately they became ashamed of their nakedness. Where the sin happened? By disobeying God? If you ask the Pope of the Vatican, he will say by disobeying the God. Because priests would like you to obey always, never disobey. If you ask philosophers, not theologians, they will say by eating the fruit of knowledge. Because when you start thinking, trouble arises. Life is innocent without thinking. Children are innocent because they cannot think. Trees look so beautiful because they cannot think. Man looks so ugly because his mind is always burdened and tense and worries and thoughts and dreams and reveries, and he is always burdened. The whole grace is lost. So if you ask existentialist philosophers, they will say it is because of the tree of knowledge. But if you ask the psychologists, whose approach is deepest, they will say because of shame. Because when you feel shame, you have started to hate yourself. When you feel ashamed, you have rejected yourself. But it came through knowledge. Children cannot feel ashamed. They move naked easily. There is no problem. You force them by and by to feel ashamed. Don't be naked. The more they become knowers, then they will hide themselves. Jesus says, when you take off your clothing without being ashamed. So what Adam and Eve did, they put fig trees around their sense organs. Fig leaves. The first clothing invented. The world is started. How you can enter again back into the garden of Eden? Throw your fig leaves. That's what Jesus says. He says this is the way back to the paradise. This is the way back when you take off your clothing without being ashamed. Because you can take off your clothing and remain ashamed, then deep down the clothing is there. You are hiding. You are not open. So nudity is not nakedness. You may be nude but not naked. Nakedness has a deeper dimension. It means no shame, no feeling of being ashamed. It means accepting your body in its totality as it is. No condemnation in the mind. No division in the body. A simple acceptance. Then it is nakedness. Mahavir is not nude. He is not a member of a nudist club. He is naked. He is naked like a child. In a nudist club, you are not naked. Even your nudity is calculated. It is manipulation from the mind. You are revolting, you are rebellious, you are going against the society. Because the society believes in clothes, you are throwing the clothes. But it is a reaction. You are not innocent. Innocent like a child, says Jesus, and take your clothes and put them under your feet as the little children and tread on them. Then shall you behold the Son of the Living One, and you shall not fear. First, you should accept your nakedness as you are before God. Just like a small child before his father and mother, not ashamed. You should be before the divine, not ashamed. Then you will be real. If shame is there, then mass will be used, bound to be used. And second same thing, if the feeling of being a sin disappears, you shall not fear. They are joined together. If you feel ashamed, you will be afraid. If you don't feel ashamed, you will not be afraid at all. The fear disappears with shame. And when fear and shame both disappear, your eyes are open. And then you will see the Son of God, or the Son of the Living One. Then Jesus will be revealed to you. Then you can know a Buddha. People come to me and they ask, how can we recognize that a master is enlightened or not? You cannot recognize as you are. It is asking just like a blind man, that how he can recognize whether the light is on or off. How a blind man can recognize? Recognition needs eyes, and the blind man's eyes are closed. You cannot recognize whether a man is realized or not, enlightened or not, whether he is really a Christ or not. You cannot recognize. Otherwise, how Jesus was crucified, if people could recognize him? They treated him very badly. They made him look foolish. They forced him look foolish. The day when he is carrying his cross to the Golgotha, soldiers, urchins, mass crowd is all around, throwing stones, dirty things, enjoying that this is the King of Israel. This is the Son of God, this carpenter's boy, he has gone mad. Jokingly, they placed a crown of thorn on his head and said, look, here is the King of Israel, here is the Son of God. And then when he was crucified, the final joke was that they put two thieves on both his sides. He was crucified as a criminal with two thieves. And not only the man, the crowd, even those thieves made joke of Jesus. One of the thieves said, now we all are going to be crucified. Remember us, don't forget us in your kingdom of God. We are also being crucified with you. So take note of us, because you are the Son. So when we reach the kingdom of God, make some arrangements for us also. And you can do anything. They were also joking. Jesus was made to look like a fool. How we miss recognizing we have eyes closed. And the eyes are closed because of your clothing, not just because of your clothes. Clothing, many types of clothing: clothes, shame, fear, self-hatred, condemnation, guilt, layers upon layers of clothings. Jesus says, unless you take off your clothing without being ashamed and take your clothes and put them under your feet as the little children, When in the beginning, for the first time, a child is forced to put on clothes, he rebels. He is against it because it confines his freedom and it gives him a falseness. His resistance is natural. But you can force him, you can persuade him. You say, when we go out, you have to put these clothes. When we will be back, you need not. Because in society, clothes are needed. Otherwise, you cannot come with us. And he wants to come. He has to put on the clothes. The moment he is back, this is what he will do. He will put off the clothes, not only put off, he will jump on them. They are the enemies. They make him false. He is no more himself when those clothes are there. Now he is again free. He will celebrate this nakedness by throwing off the clothes and putting them under his feet, treading on them and celebrating the nudeness, the nakedness. If you do that like children, then shall you behold the Son of the Living One, and you shall not fear. In your nakedness there is no fear. Fear is created. Fear is created through shame. Many religions have been creating guilt, that you are guilty. Feel shameful. And then you become afraid. Then a neurosis is born. Then you go to the same persons who have been creating guilt and fear in you. You go to the same persons to learn how to transcend them. They cannot be helpful. They are the creators of fear. They will say, pray God and be God-fearing. They cannot lead you beyond fear. Jesus can lead you beyond fear. But then the whole thing has to be demolished from the very foundation. This is the foundation. Don't accept yourself and you will be always afraid. Accept yourself and there will be no fear. Don't think in terms of should and should not, ought and ought not, and you will be never afraid. Be real and trust reality. Don't fight with reality. If sex is there, it is there. Accept it. If anger is there, it is there. Accept it. Don't try to create the opposite, that I am angry, this is not good. I must not be angry. I must be forgiving. I am sexual, this must not be there. I must be celibate. Don't create the opposite end, because if you create the opposite end, you are trying to create mass. Anger will remain, your forgiveness will be just a false face. Sex will be there, moving deeper and deeper in the unconscious. And on the face there will be a mask of brahmacharya. That is not going to help. I have heard, one scientist was working to find the secret of diamonds. He worked hard. And almost all the clues were revealed to him except one single point. If he comes to know that single thing, he will become the richest man in the world. But he worked hard and couldn't find the single clue. Then somebody suggested, you are wasting your life and time. I have heard there is a woman in Tibet, a very wise woman, and she knows all the answers. You go to her and just ask the simple question about this your problem, and she will give you the answer. Why waste time here? The man traveled to Tibet. Many years it took. It was very difficult to reach the wise woman. Through much hardship, many times his life was at stake, but he reached. In the morning he knocked at the door. The wise woman opened the door. She was a very beautiful woman he had never seen. And not only that, she was beautiful, but she had the very being was inviting, a very inviting being. In the eyes, the glimmer of come hither. The woman said, okay, so you have reached. My husband has gone out. And this is the rule. You can ask only one question and I will answer it. One question only, remember. No second question. The scientist blurted out, when your husband will be back? This is the one question he had come to ask. Somewhere deep down in the unconscious, sex must have been the problem, the real problem. Working with diamonds, finding the secret of the diamonds, must have been a distraction. Deep down in the unconscious, he must be thinking, when I become the richest man in the world, all the women, all the beautiful women will be mine. Somewhere. He may not be aware of it. You can go on working on the surface without being aware of the unconscious. But in the right moment, it will come, it will explode. Escape is futile. Only transformation can be helpful. And transformation needs deep acceptance of your being as you are, with no judgment. Not saying this is good, that is bad, with no evaluation. Don't be a judge. Just trust your nature and flow with it. And don't try to swim upstream. That is what nakedness means. Move with life, with a deep trust, wheresoever it leads. Don't create your own goal. If you create your own goal, you will become false. Life has got no goal. If you have a goal, you are against life. Life moves not like a business. It moves like a poetry. Life moves not from the head, it moves from the heart. It is a romance. Trust is needed. Doubt won't be helpful. Life is not scientific, it is irrational. Life doesn't believe in Aristotle's and the logicians. It believes in love, in the poets. It believes in the mystics. It is a mystery to be lived, not a riddle to be solved. It is not a puzzle, it is not a problem. The secret is open, only you are closed. It is revealed everywhere, on each tree, on each leaf, in every ray of the sun. It is revealed. You are closed. Why you are closed? You don't accept life within you. How can you accept life without? Accept. Start from the center of your being. Accept yourself as you are, and then you will accept everything as it is. And with acceptance comes transformation. You will never be the same as you are once you accept. The transformation happens by itself. It comes on its own accord, but it comes always in a let go. This is what Jesus says, be naked, so that you can be in a let go. Drop all that the society has given to you. That is the meaning of the clothing. The society has not given you life, it has given only the clothing. The society has not given you the self, it has given you the ego. Drop the clothing and the ego disappears. Think of yourself walking on the street nude. One man, Ibrahim, came to his master. Ibrahim had been a king. And then the search started. He came to the master and the master says, are you ready to accept everything? Ibrahim said, I have come for that. You say and I will do. The master looked at him and said, okay, drop your clothes. The disciples became uneasy because Ibrahim was a great king. And this is too much and unnecessary. And it was never asked of them. So why such a hard thing for the king? Even one disciple whispered in the ear that this is too much. Don't be so hard. And you never asked us. And the master said, and take the shoes in your hands and go on thy street and beat your head with the shoes. Naked, move all over the town. And this was his capital. And Ibrahim followed. Nude he went around the capital, beating with his own shoes head. And it is said when he came back, he was enlightened. What happened? Clothing. And he was a very potential man, that's why the master demanded so much. A master demands only that much which is possible for you. More potential, he will demand more. If you are just a poor one, he will not demand more. Ibrahim was a potential man. Ibrahim himself became a great master in his own right. What happened? This happened. Jesus is saying to his disciples, clothing's dropped. All that society has given to you. Ego dropped. Many times the ego drops by itself because it is a burden, but you again put it on your head and move. Many times you are a failure. Many times you don't succeed. Many times the ego falls by itself. But you will again, bruised, frustrated, defeated, a failure, but you will carry the burden in some hope. One story I have heard. One day the lion came to the tiger and said, "Who is the boss of this forest?" The tiger says, "Of course, master, you are the one, you are the king." Then the lion went to a bear, grabbed hold of him and asked, "Who is the master? Who is the boss?" The bear said, "Of course, there is no need to ask. You are the king of all the animals. You are the boss." And then the lion went to the elephant and asked the same question, "Who is the boss here?" The elephant grabbed the lion, threw him away at least 50 feet. He was stuck with a rock, bleeding, bruised, weak. He stood and said, "If you don't know the right answer, this is no way to behave. This is how you have been doing. But you will not drop. You will also say, if you don't know the right answer, this is no way to behave. Why be so rough? Simply you can say, I don't know the answer. If you can recognize that in failure, all that society has given you false, the failure can become the beginning of the greatest success that is possible in life. That's why only in failure a man becomes religious. If he can recognize the failure, it is very difficult to become religious. When you succeed, then the clothing is giving you so much. Why bother about being naked? Then the clothing is such a good investment. But in failure, suddenly you become aware of the nakedness that is there. Nothing can hide it. You can only deceive. Use your failures. And when you are thrown against a rock, bruised and bleeding, don't repeat this stupidity of the lion. Recognize there is no success in this world. There cannot be. Because this whole thing is so false, and with false faces how can you succeed? Even your Napoleons, your Sikandar, Alexanders, your Genghis Khans, all are failures. A Jesus succeeds because he stands in his originality. He stands in his nature. Try to understand this, and not through only understanding, but by dropping by and by your clothing. Become naked, you will be pure. Then you have thrown that apple Adam and Eve ate. Then the door of paradise is open again. Christians say, with Adam and Eve, humanity was thrown out. With Jesus, the doors are again open. You can enter. But just by being Christians, it will not happen. You will have to recognize Jesus. And that recognition comes only when you have recognized yourself as Jesus. Nothing less can do. Enough for today. Thank you.